The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And now to bring the Board of Peace into full force, I ask Sheikh Issa of Bahrain and Foreign Minister Barita of Morocco to join me in signing and ratifying the Board of Peace Charter. Thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations, President Trump. The charter is now in full force, and the Board of Peace is now an official international organization. We will now continue the signing ceremonies, beginning with the President of Argentina and the Prime Minister of Armenia. Next up, the President of the Republic of Azerbaijan and the Prime Minister of the Republic of Bulgaria. Next, the Prime Minister of Hungary and the President of the Republic of Indonesia. Next, the Deputy Prime Minister of the Kingdom of Jordan and the President of the Republic of Kazakhstan. Next, the President of the Republic of Kosovo and the Prime Minister of the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. Next, the President of the Republic of Paraguay and the Prime Minister of the State of Qatar. Next, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Turkey. Next, the Chairman of the Executive Authority Affairs of the UAE and the President of the Republic of Uzbekistan. And last but not least, the Prime Minister of Mongolia. Congratulations, everyone. This concludes the signing ceremony. If President Trump and all of the Board of Peace members could please join the president around the table, the president is now going to sign the inaugural resolution that will resolve the Board of Peace's Gaza mandate per the United Nations Security Council Resolution 2803. Congratulations.
It's official. Peace is breaking out everywhere. Or peace derangement. I guess we should be more precise. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. So much to get to. So much coming out of Davos. It's really, I told the crew this morning that it's almost like we get to live out what Mr. Armstrong did back in 1945, except that when he said when he went to the UN, the opening meeting, you know, they'd come out in front of the cameras and they'd, you know, it sounded great. It sounded like there was going to be peace. But then he'd go into the back hallways or the, you know, behind closed doors. And there was just anger and resentment and just this contentious spirit. And he says, I don't see peace breaking out here. I see the seeds being planted for the next round of war. And the only difference is we get to see it in public in both cases. Yeah, how amazing that as combative as it was yesterday, and I played all the clips for you, and they made no bones about it, whether it was President Trump or European leaders. Yeah, we need to sever ties with America. They can't be trusted. NATO's blowing up. And then all of a sudden, that's suddenly fixed last night because there's some kind of a framework deal for Greenland. Peace is breaking out in NATO, I guess, now. And then all of today's festivities, the Board of Peace, the new Gaza. We're going to build all of these estates and villas and beachfront property. It's going to become a vacation paradise. Well, we've got to stay grounded in what the Bible prophesies and also history. Just looking at history. I mean, think about, first, let's go ahead a little bit. What happens when the siege sets in and when the next round of world war breaks out? What are people going to look back upon and think about Davos? And all of the grand speeches and all of the declarations and the, now the new charters and the, a new international organization. I like how President Trump said, yeah, they made me the chairman of the board. They? Who's they? This just comes poof. And all of a sudden you've got the Sheikh of Bahrain next to the diplomat from Morocco and President Trump. And we have got peace. I think he's said it's the most important international body in history. If you look at our news gatherers put this together following the Napoleonic Wars and Britain's victory at Waterloo in 1815, man created the Concert of Vienna, a peacemaking organization. Then after the Franco-Prussian War, 1870 through to World War I, what came out of that? Well, the League of Nations. We've got to stop war. We've got to put an end to war. Finally, forever, for good. And then World War II breaks out. And what happens after World War II? Well, you've got the United Nations. You've got the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. All of these international organizations that are meant to maintain peace. And then what followed the establishment of the UN? What followed it is exactly what Mr. Armstrong said was being planted in those opening ceremonies, in those opening meetings for the UN. I mean, just run through the list. Korea, Vietnam, the communist Holocaust in Russia, China. You've got Cambodia in the 1970s. It's just slaughters all over the place. The Iran-Iraq War in the 1980s. The Rwanda genocide in the 1990s. And you just keep going on and on. Balkans. I mean, the list continues. You bring it right up through to today. All the intifadas, the October 7 massacre. Well, you could go back to the 90s and the Gulf Wars. It's just like we wrote a few months ago at thetrumpet.com. The truth is the legacy of man is war. It is war. It's the way of God that brings peace. And we're not living the way of God. So we're not going to make peace. It takes God and the family of God to make peace. My father's talked before about the momentary peace that Mr. Armstrong established back in the 1970s, I think it was, with Sadat and Begin. And Mr. Armstrong was pretty directly involved. And I mean, in the case of those two leaders, you saw some humility, you saw some repentance on the part of Egypt. And a real, sincere, genuine effort to make peace. It was not, you know, long-lasting by any means, but God's man was involved there. My father at our conference just recently, he talked about the peace that's on this campus. And the reason for that is because God's family government is here. God's family is here. God's spirit is here. It takes God to make peace. Man has proven himself utterly incapable of making peace. And how many scriptures bear this out? Peace, they're going to say peace, peace, when there is no peace. That's Jeremiah 8 and verse 11. We looked for peace, but no good came. That's verse 15, same chapter. Isaiah 33 verse 7 says the ambassadors for peace are going to weep bitterly. They're going to weep bitterly. Isaiah 59, 8 says that we don't know the way to peace. Says the same thing in Romans 3, verse 17. Old Testament, New Testament. Paul said when they say peace, sudden destruction's coming. So You know what's ahead. Sorry to say, but destruction is coming. We don't know the way to peace. When they declare it, when world leaders declare peace is about to break out, that's when we better run for cover. The BBC says here, the New York Times cited, well, this is just switching over to the peace that now is evidently all through NATO. Man, I watched the opening monologue of Jesse Waters last night. And I mean, it's like it's a complete 100% overwhelming victory for President Trump. He got all that he wanted in Greenland. He spanked the Europeans. They took it just fine. And now everything's great. The New York Times said about the deal in Greenland. I'll get to the peacemaking efforts here in just a moment. But just to follow on what we discussed, I think, for the entire program yesterday, evidently there's going to be pockets of Greenland handed over to the United States and the U.S. will have full control. And we can set up our missile defense shield against Vladimir Putin, I guess. And he's also on the board of peace, but we'll get to that later. Joel Hilliker says in the morning brief, just as suddenly as it began, the Greenland crisis is over. President Trump ruled out using force to seize it, then canceled tariffs on Europe over it and said he's fine with America not owning it. As Axios put it, the immediate crisis appears diffused in a way that allows virtually every party to claim a win. So Axios can claim victory. Jesse Waters can claim victory. The Trump people, victory. Europeans, victory. Denmark, victory. Everybody wins. It's a win-win-win-win-win agreement. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte hashed out the framework of the deal further on. He says, meanwhile, European leaders are still reeling after the ride President Trump took them on this past week. As Euro Intelligence wrote, this is not a done deal yet, and it leaves behind a wrecked transatlantic relationship. I mean, that's still real. What happened this week still happened. Don't be distracted by the deal makings and the new charters and all these things. Like I said, we're seeing it in public, on television, both sides. Hate, hate, hate. We've got to stand against America. We've got to build our army. We've got to go it alone. And then the very next day, peace, 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 peace. Missile defense. We need it for, because Russia and China, big threats. Peace, Putin, come on in. Come on into the board of peace. This is insanity. All of these evil powers and rulers lurking. If you look at, I had it later in my notes. Maybe I skipped over it. Basically, again, the news gatherers putting together some thoughts just on the difference between when the UN started back in 1945 and then this next body, you know, the Board of Peace. Well, I guess I'll get to it a little bit later. But just to finish this on Greenland and what's happening in these conferences or in these sessions at Davos. They had a session, I think it was yesterday or maybe it was this morning, on can Europe defend itself? And just listen to how the moderator set up the discussion, or I guess this is a middle way through it. They had gone back and forth. Yes, Europe can do this. Yes, Europe can do this. And then listen here to what the host has to say. Clip 17.
I'd just like to add something and kind of reset us a little bit. We're talking about can Europe defend itself? And something that's really interesting is that we have not said the word Russia or Ukraine, I think, so far in this conversation. And it just goes to show you actually how the conversation has changed.
Russia's not even mentioned. Not now. The discussion is that Europe must be able to defend itself. And notice, it's not so much Russia now as it is the United States of America. It makes you think about what Mr. Armstrong said about Russia. And don't get me wrong, Vladimir Putin's the prince of Rosh. He is a ruthless dictator, a murderer. He is a threat. He is a danger. But he's not going to start World War III. Herbert Armstrong said that back in the 1980s. I mean, he said it at peak tension during the Cold War. Russia's not going to start the war. Germany is. Europe is. Newsflash, one that you got at the Plain Truth decades ago. You get it at thetrumpet.com. You get it on this program. Yeah, the Russia's not even really in the discussion. Now it's Orange Hitler. You see, it's get Trump. That's what it boils down to. Hate Donald Trump. And of course, Donald Trump, as you heard yesterday, I mean, he is just begging for a strong Europe. He's begging for a German-led military machine. And he's going to get one, as I said yesterday. Listen to Mark Rutte. He's the chief over NATO. Clip 19.
I'm not popular with you now because I'm defending Donald Trump, but I really believe you can be happy that he is there because he has forced us in Europe to step up, to face the consequences, that we have to take care more of our own defense. And here's my question to the audience. I mean, many of you, I know, criticize Donald Trump, but do you really think that without Donald Trump, 8 big economies in Europe, including Spain and Italy and Belgium, Canada, by the way, also outside Europe, would have come to 2%? In 2025, when they were only on 1.5% at the beginning of the year, no way. Without Donald Trump, this would never have happened. They're all on 2% now. Do you really think that in the summit in The Hague, as already Alex was saying, sorry, the president of Finland was saying, that we would come to a overall defense spending of 5%, including 3.5% in core defense, if President Trump would not have been re-elected as president of the United States? No way. It would never have happened. So again, I'm not popular with you now because I'm defending Donald Trump, but I really believe you can be happy that he is there because he has forced us in Europe to step up, to face the consequences, that we have to take care more of our own defense.
I know you all hate him, but just so that you know, I mean, he's largely responsible for us going it alone, building our armies. Everyone's contributing now, and this is a good thing. And then the next day, Board of Peace, Board of Peace, Board of Peace. You see what's happening here? It's exactly like Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:3. We're arming for war. We're preparing for war, and we're talking nonstop about peace. Here's the difference. Our historian, news gatherer from up north, The one major difference between the UN, or the establishment of the United Nations, and the Board of Peace, the UN was founded in 1945 after the Allies won total victory. Germany had unconditionally surrendered. Japan had unconditionally surrendered. A nuclear bomb had been detonated 2 months before the UN started. The U.S. was at the beginning of its apex in power. So was the Soviet Union. The circumstances surrounding the Board of Peace is altogether different. Germany is reunited. It's resurgent. It's building a war machine. And America is actively encouraging Germany, Europe, and other nations to get stronger and to be more independent. America, add to the list of all that I'm rattling off here, add to that America has not won a war in 80 years. And here we come to another international institution with the goal of establishing world peace. And Vladimir Putin's in it. So are the sheikhs. The world is so much more dangerous today than it was after World War II in 1945. And even then, what did Mr. Armstrong notice in the hallways of that meeting or that gathering? What did he notice in all the back channel discussions? He's like, the human nature is still here. I mean, think about how civilization had been humbled. As I just showed you, I mean, a nuclear bomb had been detonated. The world was stunned. The world wanted peace desperately. This is a very different world today. There's lots of talk about peace. But I have to disagree with President Trump when he says, well, yeah, there's a few little fires in the Middle East, but for the most part, they're easy to take care of. Jared Kushner said, war is over in the Middle East. It's over. You think Hamas agrees with that? I mean, when you look at all the people that are in the Board of Peace, it really reinforces the point that they will sit down with and work with, in negotiation, that is, anyone. Anyone, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter that there's no repentance, doesn't matter that you've not even issued an apology, nothing. We'll just sit down and talk about peace. And we'll sign pieces of paper like Neville Chamberlain did. And we'll get others to come up and sign publicly. And we'll keep the cameras rolling. Here's President Trump earlier today, clip one.
Well, this is a very exciting day. Long in the making. And many countries have just received their notice. And everybody wants to be a part of it. And we'll work with many others, including the United Nations. And now we have one of the most important meetings of all, the official formation of what is known as the Board of Peace. I want to thank the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, and Jared Kushner, and their extraordinary work. I mean, they've done an amazing job. We have peace in the Middle East. Nobody thought that was possible. We've settled 8 wars. And I believe another one's coming pretty soon.
It's everywhere. Peace in the Middle East. Settled 8 wars. The world's safer, he said the other day. It's safer than it was a year ago. He's still celebrating the accomplishments over the past year with a lot of, as I said yesterday, with a lot of pride. This is from Reuters. Apart from the U.S., no other permanent member of the U.N. Security Council, the 5 nations with the most say over international law and diplomacy since the end of World War II, has yet committed to join. Russia said late on Wednesday it was studying the proposal after Trump said it would join. France declined to join. Britain said on Thursday it was not joining at present. China has not yet said whether it will. This is a joke. Everybody wants to be a part of it, he said. It all sounds so good. I mean, the world wants peace. Everybody wants peace and prosperity. Everybody wants safety. Kushner said that yesterday, or today, this morning. Is that true? It's so short-sighted. It's the comments, they reflect so much ignorance about the world, human nature, history, and certainly Bible prophecy as well. The Bible says when they say peace, look out. This is CNN. It's not every day that I agree with CNN. In fact, it's not even once a year that I usually do. But here's CNN asking a question of Trump, clip 12.
Come and take over Greenland. If you're worried that Putin would do something like that, why invite him to join your Board of Peace?
Because we want everybody. We want all nations. We want all nations where people have control, people have power, where we're never going to have a problem. This is the greatest board ever assembled. Well, and everybody wants to be on it. But, yeah, I have some controversial people on it, but these are people that get the job done. These are people that have tremendous influence. And if I put all babies on the board, there wouldn't be very much. So he was invited. He's accepted. Many people have accepted. I think, I don't know of anybody that hasn't accepted, but it's going to be great. I think the Board of Peace will be the most prestigious board ever, and it's going to get a lot of work done that the United Nations should have done.
So she asked there, if you need Greenland because you need to be protected from Putin, why would you invite him on the Board of Peace? Well, we want everybody. I mean, the cognitive dissonance here is off the charts. Everybody's saying it openly, arm for war, arm for war. And at the same time, we want peace. We want peace. War is coming. The strong man is coming, the strong man of Europe. The strong man of Russia, he's there already. Same with China. The strong man of Manasseh is there as well. And he's got a huge blind spot, as we're seeing this week. This is President Trump earlier today, clip two.
This week marks the one-year anniversary of my second inauguration as president. No administration in history has achieved such a sweeping turnaround in 12 months' time at home and abroad. Today, the world is richer, safer, and much more peaceful than it was just 1 year ago. We put out all those fires. Many things are happening, many good things. Threats to Europe and America, the Middle East, and other places are really calming down. It's a lot different than it was just 1 year ago. Just 1 year ago, the world was actually on fire. A lot of people didn't know it.
Verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians 5. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. No one's going to escape the destruction that's coming. Everyone's going to be touched by it. That's New Testament teaching. And if your preacher doesn't teach that, then he's concealing the truth. If your preacher says that we're in a golden age, peace is breaking out, safety, comfort, it's all increasing. If you're getting that from your preacher, you're not getting the truth of the Bible. This is clip four.
As part of this historic record of major peace initiatives, today we're announcing more details regarding the Board of Peace, so important. This board has the chance to be one of the most consequential bodies ever created, and it's my enormous honor to serve as its chairman. I was very honored when they asked me to do it. We had an idea to do it, and then they came. They said, you be the chairman. But I take it very seriously. We have a great group of people and incredible young people that are leading it from within. It's running beautifully, started already, and every country, just about every country, wants to be a part of it.
I just noticed as he was talking there, a few other verses that jump out from 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul says, I exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Further down, he says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop your prayer life. Don't disconnect from God. Stay connected. It says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Before that, despise not prophesyings. Don't despise a prophet that gives the truth. I mean, my father wrote in the Isaiah booklet that, as far as he knows, I guess maybe it's the Ezekiel booklet, God never sent a prophet ever to say, hey, you're doing pretty good. Everything's working out. I think God is proud of you. No, the prophets were sent to warn in love. The prophets were sent by God to correct a wayward people, a rebellious nation. Prophets were sent to expose sin. And even those men of God, I mean, they, like Isaiah, I don't know if I'll have time to get to it in Isaiah 6. I covered it in class yesterday, but Isaiah was like, who am I? I'm unclean. Daniel said the same thing. I mean, our people are sinners. We're not obeying you. Moses, he said, I don't want to do this. I have a stutter. In other words, they felt unworthy. They looked at themselves and they said, I've got enough problems inside me. And God said, in the case of Isaiah, he's like, here, we're going to purge those out of you because of my love and mercy. and because of your repentant attitude. But now go and do what you need to do. And Isaiah said, yes, sir. He spoke for God. All of the prophets of old did. They communicated what God said. And they were willing to deal with whatever consequences there might have been, you know, on the human level. And a lot of them were persecuted or thrown in jail, like Jeremiah, in a dungeon. Here's a little bit more from President Trump this morning, clip 5.
No, I like, actually, at this group, I like every single one of them. Can you believe it? Usually I have about 2 or 3 that I can't stand. Usually I have 2 or 3 that I don't like. I don't find them up here. I like every one of these people. No, they're great people. They're great leaders. And the Board of Peace is composed of leaders, the top leaders in the world, actually. Last October, we released a plan for the permanent end to the conflict in Gaza, and I'm pleased to say that our vision was unanimously adopted by the United Nations Security Council late last year.
He likes all of them, and they're all good. Human nature is good. We want everybody. If he had every world leader on that stage, judging by the fact that he wants every world leader on stage, and judging by the fact that he just said right there, everybody on here, everybody in my board is good. They all want peace. I mean, that is dangerous, that kind of thinking. Total trust in anyone. A willingness to work as partners with anyone on a scale or a level that we've never seen. I mean, you want to go back to 1945 when it was a lot, another difference compared to today? Well, coming out of World War II in 1945, the goal for NATO was to keep Germany down. Look, we've all suffered. There's been widespread destruction. A nuclear bomb just went off. And Germany can't be allowed to start another world war. So we're going to design this international body headed up by the United States. And Germany's not going to be able to remilitarize ever, 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 ever again. Now, contrast that with today, what we're seeing. Germany, you heard it from Ursula. They've been working faster rebuilding the military machine over the past year than they have in decades. We're living in a dangerous world. And President Trump and his diplomats believe that everybody likes them, that everybody wants peace, that there's not going to be any double dealings, any secret back channel negotiations, no secret deals between Germany and Russia. No, never. Nothing like that could happen. The history books teach otherwise. And so does the Bible. The Bible talks about Israelite nations being deceived, being attacked by their lovers. Their lovers, the ones that they love and that they think love them. The Bible talks about double crosses. And that's what's coming. Notice clip number 6.
Once this board is completely formed, we can do pretty much whatever we want to do, and we'll do it in conjunction with the United Nations. You know, I've always said the United Nations has got tremendous potential, has not used it, but there's tremendous potential in the United Nations, and you have some great people at the United Nations, but so far it hasn't. You know, on the 8 wars that I ended, I never spoke to the United Nations about any of them, and you would think that I should have. You would think they could have done those 8 wars, but they couldn't have. And they tried, I guess, in some of them, but they didn't try hard enough. But there's tremendous potential with the United Nations. And I think the combination of the Board of Peace with the kind of people we have here, coupled with the United Nations, can be, you know, something very, very unique for the world. It's for the world. This isn't United States. This is for the world.
Everybody's going to get in on it. Listen to the next one, number 7.
As everyone can see today, the first steps toward a brighter day for the Middle East and a much safer future for the world are unfolding right before your very eyes. Together, we are in a position to have an incredible chance. I don't even call it a chance. I think it's going to happen. To end decades of suffering, stop generations of hatred and bloodshed, and forge a beautiful, everlasting, and glorious peace for that region and for the whole region of the world, because I'm calling the world a region. The world is a region. We're going to have peace in the world. And boy, would that be a great legacy for all of us. Everybody in this room is a star.
You can see why the ambassadors for peace end in weeping bitterly. I thought we had peace. I thought this was going to work. I thought it was going to be everywhere and everlasting, glorious peace. I mean, he's using biblical language, biblical prophecies. But those Bible prophecies describe an everlasting peace brought on by the government of God, the family of God, the laws of God. You have to live the way of peace in order to produce it, in order for it to grow, in order for it to be everlasting. I mean, it is mind-boggling. This institution, this international body, it started today, January 22nd, 2026. And we're speaking about it as if it's already a smashing success, because 20 guys on a stage are pretty good guys because they like Trump and Trump likes them. This really is Isaiah 3 leadership. And again, I say that knowing that God brought President Trump back and that he has had a long list of accomplishments, particularly domestically. But total trust. How can we claim that it's so successful on day one, in the first few hours? There's, you know, we often talk about that clip from June where he tells Germany, yeah, build a war machine, but, you know, don't make it too big. How that's going to come back to haunt him. I think some of the statements he made this morning, he's going to live to regret as well. Listen to clip 8.
You're the biggest people, the most important people in the world, most powerful people in the world. And when you use that genius that you have, that very unusual, very inspired genius, when you use that for peace, the opposite of peace has no chance. So I just want to say it's tremendous to be with you. And I think this is something that we're doing that's very important. This is the most important. I was so looking forward to being here. And yesterday was a tremendous success. A lot of good things happened, but this was something that I really wanted to be here and do. And I could think of no better place because so many people were together.
He says this as if there has never been a long line of geniuses that have tried to create a roadmap to peace. I just gave you the history of the last 150 years, 200 years. Look at how many international bodies have been created to do exactly what he says they're going to do. Skip ahead to Kushner. This is Jared Kushner. He's on the board of peace. His focus in particular is on Gaza, as we'll get to in just a second. But this is clip 11.
This deal only happened because we worked with Israel, we worked with Turkey, we worked with Qatar, we worked with Saudi, we worked with Egypt. I mean, everyone worked together. We worked with UAE. We all worked together to make this happen. I see a lot of people trying to escalate, you know, criticizing Israel or Israelis criticizing Turkey or Qatar. Just calm down for 30 days. I think that the war's over. Let's do our best to try working together. Our goal here is peace between Israel and the Palestinian people. Everyone wants to live peacefully. Everyone wants to live with dignity. Let's put our efforts towards promoting those who are doing the work to build this up, like Ali and his committee. Let's focus on the positive stories, and let's just calm down, turn a new chapter. And if we believe that peace is possible, then peace really can be possible.
Which chapter and verse is that in? If we believe peace is possible. then peace really can be possible. Did the October 7 attackers, the terrorists, and a lot of the civilians that came pouring in to also loot and burn, did they believe that peace with all those little communities in southern Israel, did they believe that peace was possible? Was it in their hearts? He said, you heard him. Everyone wants to live peacefully. Well, maybe you could argue that everyone wants to live peacefully, but their way, according to their terms, according to their charters. That's the problem with man. That's the problem with human nature. It has been from the very beginning. God says you've gone the way of Cain. That's the way we've gone as a civilization. It's the history of war. It's the story of war. That's our legacy. This is from JNS. Amid the storm surrounding the establishment of President Donald Trump's Gaza Peace Board, many senior figures remain in the Gaza-Hamas leadership. These individuals are responsible for an attempted force buildup, ongoing violations, refusal to disarm, and a three-month delay in returning all deceased hostages. At the top of the Gaza pyramid, associates of slain Hamas leader Sinwar have emerged, taking the places of senior figures eliminated during the war. The butcher, Sinwar, he's been taken out, but others are rising to replace him. But Kushner says, hey, come on now. Let's just take 30 days. Let's cool off. Let's focus on the good stories. And if we really, really believe that peace is possible, then peace is possible. Well, what do you do with those who believe that murder is not only possible, but, you know, we've got a mission from God to do it? I'll commit suicide if I can take out some Jews or some Americans. There's plenty of people in this world that think that way. You know, as one of our news gatherers said, it's not like Donald Trump is the first Israelite leader in history that sat down to negotiate with a Gentile ruler. I mean, it's happened all through Israelite history. But this world is more dangerous than it has ever been. And, you know, I'm no historian on peacemaking, but I would venture to say that we're talking about peace more than man has ever talked about peace. What a time. This is President Trump from this morning. This is clip three.
A lot of these leaders, they become my friends. They're here. And of course, the war in Gaza, which is really coming to an end. We have little fires that we'll put out, but they're little. They were giant, giant, massive fires. And now they're down to little fires. So we can put them out very easily. We have 59 countries that are involved in peace in the Middle East. Many of them not in the Middle East. They're near the Middle East, but they're not in the Middle East. And many have said that if Hamas doesn't do what they promised they would do, and I think they probably will, but they were born with rifles in their hands.
JNS says the Saudi newspaper reported earlier this month that Ali Amodi, one of the prisoners released in the 2011 Shalit deal, has become the de facto head of the Gaza Bureau. That would be the Gaza Bureau of Hamas. If you guys in the control room, if you have that picture that Kushner had with his speech, the new Gaza, see if you can track that down and pull it up, and I'll keep reading. It says, Naim was reportedly appointed as a bureau member previously. Abu Naim commanded the terror organization's policing mechanisms. Hamas is rebuilding. Even as Jared Kushner is talking about rebuilding Gaza into this vacation paradise. Yeah, everyone owning beachfront property there on the Mediterranean. It looks beautiful. It looks absolutely stunning. I mean, this doesn't look anything like October 7. No, no. But this is what's coming. We know it. We're sure. If we just believe, we can do it. At the top of the military wing stands Izzeddin al-Haddad, a former Fatah member. He is the only Hamas brigade commander not eliminated in the war. With Turkey and Qatar on the board, they will undermine all of Israel's attempts to blot out Hamas and radical Islam. They're all good people. Turkey, Qatar, they hate Jews, but I mean, they're on the board of peace, so cut them some slack. Hey, take 30 days and relax and just focus on the good stories. Yeah, and we're inviting Putin in too. Do you think Putin would be for destroying Hamas? I mean, this is the problem with the United Nations. Everybody's a member for the most part, and everybody disagrees. They just argue. They just argue, even as one war after another war after another war after another war. Look at how many wars. And this has been when the world has had the United States as pretty much the policeman to maintain some level of stability. And yet you've got Korea, you've got Vietnam, you've got Iraq, Iran, you've got Bosnia, and oh yeah, you've got the genocide in Rwanda. Don't forget about that. And on the first, second Gulf War, 9/11, remember that? And then October 7, and then the Gaza War. Well, then we took out the Iran nuclear facility. I mean, it just goes on and on. It's never ending. That has been man's story. And that's what God's trying to get us to see. You can put the nicest picture of somewhere, anywhere in the world, and it looks glorious. I mean, look at what the devil does with Las Vegas. To just take one example. I mean, I went there as a kid a lot to see my uncle and his family. And every year we'd drive in, especially when it was at night, and you see the lights the whole city was lit up and so many colors. And here it's like this desert oasis. I mean, it just looked beautiful, at least from my young eyes. And then you get up close. And you learn very quickly, okay, I need to stay away from the Strip. I need to stay away from this part of town. That's the way of this world. Satan makes it look so alluring and tempting and enticing. And God is trying to help us see. You're just trying to conceal sickness and disease. You're just trying to hide the filth. Israel responded sharply to January 16 White House announcement that Turkey, Qatar, and Pakistan would take part in the running of the Gaza Strip. You think Erdogan's going to say, now, as part of this agreement, you have to dismantle Hamas's organization. Hamas has to be demilitarized. Hamas can never have military hardware of any kind again. In fact, the leadership, all of them, they have to be wiped out. They have to be destroyed. I mean, at least coming out of World War II, as devastating and destructive as that was, you had Western leaders that had enough sense to say, Germany can never militarize again. Not so today. Hamas just committed October 7, two and a half years ago. Not even that. And here comes Turkey and Qatar to the rescue. Qatar being where Qatar, whatever you want to pronounce it with. They are giving safe harbor to the top tier Hamas leadership. You see? Some good people on that stage. The problem is that Turkey and Qatar are patrons of Hamas. Financial, ideological, military patrons of a terrorist organization. They are, in other words, state sponsors of terrorism. They are responsible for the war that erupted. They are responsible for not bringing that war to an end sooner. They are responsible for not reining in their terrorist proxy. And as a result, if you ask me, they should never have had a role to play. It's the antithesis of peace. To create a board of peace with these two countries makes zero sense. It's worse than that. It's insanity. It's dangerous. We're living in a dangerous world. What we're seeing, what we saw this morning, and what's continued right through this day, it's been going on for the last many months. I mean, this idea for the Board of Peace, it sprung from the war in Gaza. When the United States got in there and basically called back Israel and said, that's enough. We got to end this. And then for President Trump this morning to go on, we got all these hostages back, even the dead bodies. You know, and I'm surprised how Israeli families, it's really important to them to get their dead bodies back, to get their dead son back so that they can give him a proper burial. I mean, he's talking about all this as if things are perfect now. The antithesis of peace, that's what we're seeing. The opposite of peace, that's what your Bible says. The recipe for war, that's what this board really should be called. The board for war. Because if you go into Gaza, even with a beautiful picture of building all these sky-rise condominiums and say, this is it. This is going to be the most peaceful, the most sought-after region for any vacationer in the Western world. Even as you allow Hamas to rebuild, to rearm, that is the very definition of insanity. That is the devil's way to peace. No wonder God says they don't know the way. They don't know the way. Turkey and Qatar will exploit their membership on the Gaza Executive Board to undermine efforts to truly disarm Hamas, says Ben Menachem. But by and large, it's against their interest because Hamas is part of their axis and they want it to stay in power. Far from demanding that Hamas dismantle its military wing, these Board of Peace members are going to encourage them to rebuild. That is some peace. Another one at JNS. Putin made clear he was joining the Board of Peace to secure Palestinian interests and will pay the $1 billion first and foremost to support the Palestinian people and to direct their funds to the reconstruction of the Gaza Strip. Putin just wants the best. He just wants to make peace. It's the antithesis of peace. My father wrote an article in January. Well, the January issue, the vision of peace the Middle East needs. He talks about Mr. Armstrong, the ambassador, the unofficial ambassador for peace, when he had those discussions with Sadat and Begin back in the 70s. He said, I believe this project was special because God's apostle took part in it. What other comparable peace agreement have you ever heard of? He said, this was huge. Mr. Armstrong wanted to encourage Sadat in these efforts. He was called the ambassador for world peace without portfolio. He really was a man of peace. He knew how to have peace. And he knew that President Sadat was onto something really big in this world. What was this way of peace that was taught at Mount Sinai? I mean, Mr. Armstrong even had, I think there was an exhibit or something that was constructed there to commemorate the agreement between Egypt and Israel. Why Mount Sinai? What happened there? Mr. Armstrong spent considerable time in his article explaining the ingredient missing in the rest of the world, God's law, which was given at Mount Sinai. The law reveals the way of give, which leads to peace. That's in the January issue of the Trumpet magazine. You can see it there on your screen. And you can subscribe, by the way, to the Trumpet magazine by calling our operators today. A free one-year subscription. There's no cost or obligation. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today. And we'll see you again tomorrow.